All right, we're going to start at the bottom of Yud Amud Bet, the two dots. It's 2, 4, 5 lines up. Yifra Hormiz, we bumped into before, was the Ime de Shavur Malka, was the mother of Shavur Malka, who we saw again in Baba Metzia. Shavur Malka is Rashi about two interpretations. The first is that he was a king of Paras, he was a king of Persia, and the other one was that it was possibly Shmuel, which he and Tosus rejected over there, and that likely that Shavur Malka was one of the kings of Persia. Shadra Arba Mea Dinore Le Kamei de Rabbi Ami. Velo kablinu. She sent 400 dinarim to Rabbi Ami, and he was not willing to accept them. Seems like she sent them to him to do tzedakah or to act on her behalf with these 400 zuz. So drino kamei d'rova v'kablinu mishum shalom malchus. And then she sent them to Rava, and he did accept them because of shalom malchus. So he didn't want to offend the king or the king's palace. Shama Rabbi Ami. Rabbi Ami heard what Rava did, and ikpid, he was upset. Amar Leitle, he doesn't rub a hold. B'yavosh k'tzira tisavarno nashim shover. Yeah, tisavarno nashim ba'ot mi'irot. So now, when they wither or they dry up, they will cut down, right? Or they will break the large branches or boughs on the tree. And nashim ba'ot mi'irot, and the women will come and burn them for firewood. So the understanding of the pasuk, the understanding of the pasuk is that once they use up all their good deeds, or once they have run out of zchuyot and their virot have overcome them, then the shibud malchut will be removed. So Rabbi Ami was upset that Rabbi was being mezakeh, right, the Shavur Malka or the malchut that was not a Jewish malchut, because he was then causing the galut to extend by doing such. Rava, why did Rava do it? Mishom Shalom Achut, for exactly that reason. He's Shalom Achut. He couldn't afford to offend the king, because the situation could become dire or much worse in the immediate future. Rabbi Ami, Nami, Mishom Shalom Achut. Right. So what about Rabbi Ami? He could have done it for Shalom Achut. Di Baile the Mifleginu Aniyei Ovdei Chachavim. He should have just given out to the poor of the Ovdei Chachavim instead of giving out to Aniyei Yisrael. Just give it out to Aniyei Ovdei Chachavim. It would have been fine. That's exactly what Rava did in the end. Because of Shalom Malchus, that's what he did. So Rabbi Ami, the Ikpidhu, so why was he Makpid on Rava? He wasn't clear to him that Rava was only giving them to the Aniyei of the Chachavim. He hadn't heard. He just heard that Rava had accepted it, and he assumed that he had used it, and he thought maybe he had used it for Aniyei Yisrael. So there's a Rashi over here that's extremely important, and it's Tosus on Chedem and Aleph. And Shabbos is Dav said the same thing, which is a Musar Askel about honesty. If you look at the top Rashi, he says, "Lo seimu kamei derbi ami delanye of the chavim chalkan Rava." He wasn't sure that Rava had given them out to only the non-Jewish aniim. V'hana damran la'el. What about on davchet amud aleph? Right here, there, Rav Yosef accepted money from Ime de Shavu Malkol Asod Mitzvah Rabba. So I come over there, Rav Yosef had no reluctance to do it. So he says, "Nami ifrahur mez the Mitzvah Rabba mishum Shalom Malkol Tami kablenu." Rabbi Yosef, for the same reason, accepted the money from Yimei D'Shavur Malchus because of Shalom Malchus. So Shalom Malchus was the governing dictate both over here for Rava and for Rabbi Yosef over there. V'lo efshar lei l'chalkan l'aniyei ovdei kochavim. Over there we know Rabbi Yosef was going to use it for Pidyon Shavuyim and not for aniyei ovdei kochavim. Why not? I mean, the whole reason that we permitted Rava to accept them over here, or Rabbi Ami was willing to have them accepted, was if you use them only for aniyei ovdei kochavim. Over there, Rabbi Yosef uses it for bidyon shvuyim of, right, the Jewish captives. The osur lignov dat habriyot. You cannot deceive, lie, or not be honest with other people. Va'afilu dato shel oved kochavim. Even if the individual is a non-Jew. It's not relevant. Whether a person is a Jew or a non-Jew, you have to act honestly, right, and trustworthily, right, with these individuals. And Tosfos says the exact same line in the Gemara on Ched Amud Aleph, that there is no such differentiation between a Jew and a non-Jew when it comes to, right, speaking truthfully and acting honestly. Right. Over here, so then why isn't it Gnevat HaDat here when she's handing them money to give out to Tzedakah? They're only giving it out to the non-Jewish poor. Why isn't that Gnevat HaDat? She's handing it to the Jewish Gabbai in order to hand them out. It says, the Inu Nami Yodeh. They also know the Yisrael Regilin LaFarnes HaNiyeh Obdu Chachavim. that we Jews in general would also be mefarnes, not only the Jewish aniyim, but also the non-Jewish aniyim, right? Because we have that, the Gemara says in Masechet Gedim, mefarnesim aniyei uvdik chavim, aniyei yisrael mepnei darchei shalom. That's one of the tikkun olam, all those mishnayot there. Because of darchei shalom, we also feed the aniyei uvdik chavim. So there it's not geneva to dat, because that is an assumption or a normal course of business action of the galay tzedakah to give to also non-Jewish aniyim just as well as Jewish aniyim. So over here, where Rava gives it to non-Jewish aniyim, that's not geneva to dat, because that's within the intentions of the giver of the money to him. Whereas by Rav Yosef, where she specifically said mitzvah rabba, there Rav Yosef cannot change it to aniyim or aniyev d'chachavim, because that would have been a deception. And deception is not permitted, even when it comes to non-Jews. Right, it's a big Musar Askel in terms of the way that we have to conduct ourselves. All right, now the Gemara continues. Tanya, Amro Olavel Ben Yamin Etzadik Sheyam Mumuneh Al Kupah Shel Tzedakah. Pam Achat Bat Ish Bata Isha Lufana B'Shnei Betzoret. So one time a woman came before him during a time of a famine. Amro Lo, Rebbe Parneseini, feed me, take care of me. Amala Avuda Sheim B'Kupah Shel Tzedakah Klum. He says, we're empty, the coffers are empty. I have nothing to give you. I don't know what to say. Amrlo Revi im enatamin farnesini hare isha b'shiv'a b'nei amitim. If you don't take care of me, I and my seven children are going to pass away, perish. Amad uparnesa mishelo. He took out of his own pocket and he took care of this woman and her seven children. Le'amim chala. He got sick, and a short time afterwards he got sick when natala mut, and he was on his deathbed. Amru malachei sheret lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribbono Shel Olam, ata amarta. You have told us, or you've said, or shown, anybody who saves one life is as if he saved, right, one Jew, it's as if he saved the whole world, right? That's, we learned it out from the fact that Adam was bara yechidi, that Adam was created as a single individual to show you that the whole world is kedai for that one individual. He sustained a woman and her seven children. Yamut b'shanim mu'atot, should die young. Right away, they tore up the gzardin, and he was saved from death because of those actions that he took. Tano sifulo esrim u'shtaim shana. Right, so they said that he added on for him 22 years al shnotav. That he lived for 22 years longer after this incident where he was on his deathbed because of his being mefarnes, this woman and her seven children. Tano banan. Ma'ase b'munbaz ha-melech. So there was a case with Munbaz HaMelech. Munbaz is of the part of the Hashmonaic dynasty. Rashi over here claims that he was a Bino Shel Hilni HaMalka. That he was the son of Hilni HaMalka. Again, she was a queen in the Hashmonaic dynasty. And Shebizbez Otzrotav Votzrotav Utav. He was a king, and he used up the treasury. And you know all that his forefathers had accumulated, plus everything that he accumulated, he spent the treasury b'shnei batzoret during the years of famine to support the Jews or the people. He opened up the otzrot and he ensured that they were given food and survived. His brothers and his family came to him and said, "Ramu avotecha ganzuba usifu, your forefathers and all that came before you increased the treasury. They got more money. They enriched our family, and here you are, Avshel Avotam." Each generation successively collected more wealth. V'atam mifazvizam, and you spent it all. Gone. So, Brother Ham, Avotai ganzu lamata, v'ani ganasti lamala. All those that came before me only took care of down here, but I took care of there. Shinemar, emet me'eretz titzmach. Right, honesty or truth will grow out or sprout forth from the ground. V'tzedek mishamayim nishkaf, and the righteousness or tzedakah in this case from up above will peer down, will look down. So we see what he says: I did tzedakah, and therefore even mishamayim, they're going to look down upon me favorably. Avotai ganzu mimakom sheyad sholetet bo, they saved in a place where it's not safe from others taking it or from being lost. But I, Anikin Asti Malkom Shayna Yad Shaletit Bo, my storehouse is somewhere where nobody can touch it. Why? Shinamar Tzedek Umishpat Mechon Kisecha. Right, when it comes to Tzedek and Mishpat, they are the foundation, they are stored under, right, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, the throne of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that's something nobody touches. Avodai Ginzu Dabar Shayna Se Perot. My forefathers took care of something that doesn't provide any perot, right? And benefit. And I did something that is provides perot. Shenemar imru tzadik kitov. Giprima lehem yochelu. Right, Imru Tzadik, say to the righteous one, Kitov, that is good. Ki prime alehem, the fruits of their labors, yochelu, they will eat. And that is, right, that b'olam hazeh u'b'olam haba. Tzedakah is not only protective to olam haba, but also has perot, be'ochel perotem, b'olam hazeh. Avotai ginzu otrot mamon, v'anigaste otrot nefashot. My forefathers gather treasuries of monies, and I gather treasuries of lives or souls. Shenemar pri tzadik etz chayim, right? The production or that which is produced by the tzadik is etz chayim, right? The tree of life. Lokeach nefashot chacham. The one who gathers nefashot is a wise man. So over here, I protected the people. I took care of those that were in need, right? And that is the chacham. That's what the wise man does. My forefathers gathered for others, I mean those that came after them, and I took care of myself. If you do tzedakah, it's for you, a bracha. My forefathers took care of themselves in this world, and I took care of olam haba. Shenemar v'alach lefanecha tzidkecha, kvod Hashem ya'asvecha. Right, so that your tzedek will walk before you, and then the Kavod Hashem yasvecha, right? And the Kavod Hashem will gather you in. So your tzidkecha walks before you. Tzedakah is what protects you or walks before you when you reach Shemayim in Olam Haba. All right, now we're back to the Mishnah after the short interlude about tzedakah. Vimkana ba beit dirah rehu kanshei ha'ir. We said if he purchases a house in the city, then he automatically becomes like a citizen of the city. Madit and Tadok Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. The tiny Rabbi Shimon Gamliel mer imkana ba karka kolshu harehu kanshei ha'ir. As long as he has some sort of land ownership, then he automatically becomes like a citizen of the city. Vatanya Rabbi Shimon Gamliel mer imkana shem karka ruyalavet dirahu kanshei ha'ir. Shimon Gamliel says, no, you can't just buy any plot of land and be qualified as a citizen of the city. You have to buy a plot of land that is capable of having a house be built on it. Meaning that you don't literally need a Beit Dira, you just need the ability to have a Beit Dira in the city in order to qualify as a citizen of the city. But clearly this is a stira, right, between what Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said before. So these are two Tanaim, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who say what is the minimum qualification of land that you must own in order to be considered as a citizen of a city. Right, the first price, the first Tana says in the name of Shimon Gamliel that any karka ownership is sufficient. The other Tana says, no, that you need at least ownership of karka that is ra'ui in which to put a house on it.
Either way,
he argues on the Mishnah, right? Right, because our Mishnah clearly says he has to buy a house versus just the capability of buying a house or building a house. All right, next Mishnah. It's a Mishnah that we've seen before because the Gemara quoted it earlier. Cannot divide, or you cannot compel the other party to divide up a chatzer that you share unless each individual has the ability to have four amot. You do not divide up a field unless each party could get at least nine kav. So he says four and a half kabin to each one in order to make it that one can compel the other party to divide. Now a garden or a field that one plants vegetables in, right, a vegetable patch, until you have at least chatzi kav for each party. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Beit Ruva, right, that has to be at least a Beit Rova kav, which would be half, right, of the previous amount. Velo et etraklin, velo et amoran, velo et shovach, velo et talit, velo et merchatz, velo et beit abad, velo et beit ashlachim, adje ben kedei lezeh, kedei lezeh. You cannot divide up these objects, right? We have a traklin, which is like a palatial estate, velo et amoran, which is just a mansion, velo et shovach, right, a dovecotes, talit, this is a beged, merchatz is a bathhouse, beit abad is an olive press, Beit Ashlachim is a field that is that is fed by a spring that is in it. So in each of these cases, you have to have the ability for each party to replicate what exists now. And until that is true, then you cannot compel a split or division of the property. Zeklal, what's the principle? Kol sheyachlak ushmo alav. After the division, it's still called the same thing. I mean that if beforehand it was a field, and now it's a field. Beforehand it was a garden, now it's a garden. And same with all these items. Beforehand it was an olive press, now it's still called an olive press when you divide it up. Then chukim, then you can compel the parties to divide. Bimlav in chukim. If that's not the case, meaning that the division of the property or of the whatever the bathhouse after you divide it will no longer be a bathhouse, then you cannot compel that division. Ematai, when is this true? That's only when one party is trying to compel the other to do the division. But if they both agree and they want to split it, then why not? Right, that is a tinei mamonos, and they can decide between them any sorts of conditions or any type of division. The kitvei hakodesh, the one exception to that, and this is the reason that this mishnah is brought here, because we said we already learned this from our first mishnah in the Masechta. The reason for this mishnah is kitvei hakodesh av pishneim rotzim lo yachloku. That even if they both agree, they both acquiesce to a division of the kitvei hakodesh, which Rashi explains is that they had all their kitvei hakodesh like a gilyon, like our sifrei Torah. We do not permit them to divide it because that is a gnai or bizayon to the sifrei kodesh, the sifrei Tanakh, to rip them in half or divide them in half to give half to each party. All right, Amar Rabbi Yosi, Amar Rabbi Yochan, Amar Rabbi Amot Shamru, the four Amot that we're talking about here, that the minimum amount to have a chatzer divided is that each party gets four Amot, Shamru Chutz Mishal Ptachim, that's outside of the doorways. Meaning that each doorway from your house into the chatzer, you're entitled to four Amot around your doorway, number one. Then, in addition to that, there must be sufficient four Amot, right, in the chatzer to divide. So that means, in the end, right? In the end, that's what it means. Each party will get eight amot. Four for their door, plus another four, which makes it a divisible chatzir. Right? So, anan, arba amot azev, arba amot azev. What about our Mishnah? Our Mishnah says four, four. Ela, so therefore, how do you reconcile between the Braisa and our Mishnah? Ella, right, must be Shmamina Kidrabasi. Right, Shmamina. That's exactly what Rabasi is coming to explain. Our Mishnah is talking about besides the doorways, how much must you have in the chatzer? That's four amot and four amot. The Braisa is dealing with including the doorways, how many amot will you have in the chatzer? And that is eight each. Vika Rami Lahu. Right, so we're going to see in a second, the Gemara is going to describe what it is, but it's actually, right, a, what we'll call it, a entrance way in which the person can unload his stuff, take off his shoes, he can take off his coat, I mean, some sort of area where a person can do his functions without entering the house and damaging that which is in the house. Right, Vika de Rami Lahu Mirma. It's the people who set up the, this as a question. It's not. In chukim et chazer shiba arba amot. Zeh arba amot zeh. Our Mishnah says four for each party. Vatanya, our Braisa says shmona amot zeh, shmona amot zeh. How do you reconcile between that? That is Amar Rav Asi, Amar Rav Yochanan, arba amot shamru chutz mishel ptachim. The four amot that we're saying in the Mishnah is besides the four amot that one is entitled to around their doorway. So now we have a machlokas. Amar Ravuna chutzim et chalek defi ptacha. Funa says that a chatzer, how do you know what your pro rata share of a chatzer is? Based on the number of doorways you have into the chatzer. Whereas Rav Chisda Amar Nodnim Arba Amot Chopetach Chopetach Vashar Chokim B'Shaveh. Rav Chisda disagrees. He says, yes, Eino Chanami, that you do get a greater share for each doorway that you have there, because each doorway entitles you to four Amot, right, of access. But beyond that, the chatzer is divided evenly. That doesn't entitle you to a pro rata share in the rest of the chatzer. So now, Tanya Kavasei, the Rav Chisda, we have a price that supports the position of Rav Chisda that it's not based on doorways. Right? Petachim shebechatzer yesh lehen arba amot. Each doorway is entitled to four amot. Ayala zeh petach echad v'zeh shnei petachim. If, for instance, one has one doorway, and the other one has two doorways, sheish yesh lo petach echad notel ad arba amot. The one with one doorway gets four amot. Zeh shlo shtei petachim notel shmona amot. Then the other party gets eight amot, four for each of his doorways. Ve'ashar chukim b'shaveh. And the rest they divide up equally. So that's exactly what Rav Chisda suggests over here. Hayal zeh petach rachav shmona amot. What happens if he has a doorway that is 8 amot wide? Notel shmona amot keneged petach. He takes 4 amot, right, to match the width of the doorway. V'arba amot b'chatzer. An additional 4 amot in the chatzer. Where it says, arba amot b'chatzer ma'vitayu. Why is he entitled to 4 more amot in the chatzer if he's already getting 8 amot, right, the width of the door? This is how to read it. Right? I mean, I purposely read it incorrectly, so you'd understand the question of the Gemara. Now, Avravai, Achramar, Notel Shmona Amot, Be'orech HaChatzer. That when we come to this four amot of the doorway, what you're entitled to is the width of the doorway, four amot into the chatzer. So you have whatever the doorway's width is, you're entitled to, plus you get a depth of four amot into the chatzer. So that's what this Bryce is suggesting. You get eight amot that equal the width of the doorway, which is the length of the chatzer here. And then you get four amot into the chatzer, connected that whole eight amot.
So
there's it.
So it's two fours.
What?
It should be two fours.
Right, although it's really one doorway here, so it's not, right, it's eight, it's really eight by four. That's the area that he's getting. All right, so Amar Meimar. Hai Peira de Sufli. This was a pit of pits, right, where you used to dump the fruit pits into a pit in the Chatzer. So if one has such a pit in the Chatzer, then Yeshua Abramot Chol Ruach, Veruach. Then you get a circumference of four amot around this pit in order to dump the pits into that area, or to make the, I call it the avodat sufli, you get four amot surrounding it in order to access it and to place your pits in it. So that's lo amran el zlo miyached le pitcha. That's only true if he does not have a special doorway out of his house to access the pit. I mean, that if he goes through his normal doorway into the chatzer to go access the pit, then he's entitled to an additional arba amot around the whole pit. But on the other hand, if he already has, right, a vow, if he's miyachad pitcha, he has a special doorway out of his house just to go, I mean, to go to this pit, then ein lo arba amot lifnei pitcho. Then he only gets the regular four amot out of that doorway, because we assume that all the work that he's going to do, anything he's going to bring to that pit, he'll do in front of that special doorway, or coming out of that special doorway, and therefore we don't have to give him an additional four amot around the sufli, because that'll be covered already. The workspace that he needs will be covered by the doorway that has special access to that pit. Alright, Amra Vuna, Achsadra Ein La Dalet Amot. Now, what's true of getting access of four amot into the chatzer, or you're entitled to that four amot to the chatzer, is only true of a regular room or a regular house that comes into the chatzer. Whereas if you have an achsadra that enters into the chatzer as a petach into the chatzer, you do not get arba amot. Time am I? Why not? Bishom piruk masa'o. Because what is the whole reason behind four amot? Shows what you asked before. Is the ability to, right, unload in that area before you enter the house without damaging the kelim in the house. If you have to go unload in the house, unload your donkey in your house. If you have to go unload your, you know, what you're carrying in the house, and you have all your possessions there, you start dropping bags off the donkey, they're going to hit things in the house, they're going to destroy stuff in the house. You say, okay, unload outside the house. So, hacha efshar de al gavai umefarek. When it comes to an achsadra, people don't put furniture in achsadra, because an achsadra is an exposed building or exposed room, and therefore they can go in and unload inside. They don't need to have a special area outside in order to unload. Right now, what this achsadra is, I'm going to continue in the Gemara, and then we're going to come back to it, because it's a machloket here, harishonim, about exactly what this achsadra is. Is it made of sheshet? Echad sharei batim ve'echad sharei achsadrot yesh lahem dalet amot. All right, that a doesn't matter what type of door we have into the chatzer, a bayit or an achsadra, you get four amot. Kitanya hahi b'achsadra debei rav. No, that brisa that says you're entitled to it, that's an achsadra debei rav. Right, like of a base medrash or that it has access into the chatzer, they get dalet amot. Where it says achsadra debei rav pshita in dron yamaliyahu. Exadra Beirav is simple. Why? It's like a regular room. Why shouldn't it get Dalet Amot? Ella Bachsadra Rumaita. I guess, I don't know if Rumaita comes from high or comes from Roman, right? Achsadra, that is the one that is entitled to adore. Right? He says Roman, right? Achsadra. Right now, what are these Achsadrot? Alright, so now we have to go through this. Rashi says that an Achsadra is something without any walls. Alright? Has no walls. Right? I think, Tzvi mentioned the other day, a colonnade. Right? Something that just has, simply has columns, is open from all sides. Right? Yeah. an Erevin, right? It's something that is maybe similar to a gazebo almost. That's a Aksajra according to Rashi. Then Rashi says Aksajra to Bei Rav is a case where there are walls around it, except it's made out of a lot of windows. It has a lot of air and air, you know, light space or airspace going around it. So it's a, we call it almost like a portico of sorts, right? That Rashi is describing Bei Rav. So that's considered a regular room because it's still enclosed, even though it has a lot of windows. And an Aksajra Maita is that it has low walls around it. It has walls, but the walls do not reach the ceiling. So that's an Aksajra Rumaita, and that's the, what the conclusion of the Rashi. Rashi has the Aksajra being without walls whatsoever, right? Bei Rav has walls, but it's all windows. And then Rumaita is that it has a low wall that doesn't reach the, they reach the ceiling, and that's the Aksajra Rumaita. That's where Rashi learns what these items are. Tosfos says that, a Stam Aksajra has three walls around it. An Aksajra is something that has three walls, and the fourth wall is open. Three walls with one side that is completely open. And Aksajra de Bei Rav is that also has three walls, and the fourth wall is four amot high. Three regular walls plus a fourth wall that is four amot high. And an Aksajra Maita, according to Tosfos, is right that you have a fourth wall that is not, is only 10 tefachim high. Right? Not four amot, but 10 tefachim. So Tosfos simply says that it's all about the fourth wall. A regular Aksajra has no fourth wall, Bei Rav has a four amot high wall, and a Romaita has a ten tefachim high wall. That's the way Tosfos describes it. And the Rabbeinu Gershom, over here, describes it as a, to Bei Rav as a place that the Talmidim are lomeid, sheish la gimel tefachnot, right, that it has three walls. So he calls a regular Aksajra something that's open on all sides. And Aksajra de Bei Rav, which is similar to Rashi, but then Aksajra Bei Rav, as opposed to Rashi, says that it has walls on all sides plus windows. He says that it has walls on, right, three sides. And the case of an Aksajra de Bei Rav, all right, is Dofer Revi, Eina Magat L'Schach. That fourth wall does not reach the ceiling over there. And Aksajra Maita has three walls that go up to the top. Umechitza Revi, it's Nimucha. And a fourth wall that is low down. Ubani Malea, Pnei Kula, Chulonot Gedolot. And then they put big windows on it. So almost the opposite of Rashi. Right? That the Rashi thinks that there are, I mean, but he only has it with the fourth wall. He's using Tosfos's explanation that the fourth wall is the issue here. But on the other hand, he says that the Aksajra Maita is the fourth wall, is very low and then has lots of windows. And then as opposed to the Aksajra de Bei Rav, which is a fourth wall that doesn't reach the ceiling, but it's still there. So almost opposite explanation of Rashi with regards to the walls, but the number of walls is like Tosfos. So there you have three different opinions about what these Aksajra are over here. Right, Tan Rabbanan, Beit Shar Aksajra Umir Peset Yishlem Dalet Amot. Right, when it comes to the Beit Shar, right, the doorway or some sort of entrance way, you get four amot. The Aksajra and Mirpeset and the balcony get four amot over here. Hayu Chamisha Batim Ptuchin Mirpeset. If you have some sort of porch that has access, for instance, the upper level of a two-story, we call them a row house. So they all, people upstairs, access the upstairs by going up a staircase or a ladder to an upper porch, and then they enter into those areas. Almost like a motel that has two levels, right? How do you access the upper rooms? You go up the stairs, and then you have a whole porch that enters, exits all of them. But you only have, all those people upstairs have only have one access into the chatzer, which is down the stairs. So now, how much do they get? Do they get equivalent of five people, because they have five people living up there, or do they get only one, because they have one access to the chatzer? So as the Gemara says, Ayu chamisha, is it really arba or chamisha, batim ptuchim na merpeset, in lehem da'el da'ud amot bilvad. They only get four amot keneged, their one entranceway together into the, right, into the chatzer, which makes sense. Again, they just need access to unload, and that's good enough for them to unload at the bottom of the stairs, and then take their stuff upstairs. Lul shel tarnegolim comes to a chicken coop, right? Yesh lo dalamot, ein lo dalamot. Do they need? Do you need four amot in front of a chicken coop? What's the reason behind the four amot? Mishum piruk masao. So in order for a person to unload, right, or to do whatever needs he has in front of that doorway. It says vacha mitapes veole mitapes matpes veole matpes viyoreit. Here the chickens don't need an area to access. I mean, the chickens can jump on a wall, they can jump on anything and climb into their coop. And therefore, since there's not a need for providing access over here, therefore they are not They're not. They don't require four amot for their avodah, whatever they need outside of the coop. All right. By minei Rava me Rav Nachman. So Rava asked the Rav Nachman, "Bayit chetzio mikureh vechetzio enu mikureh." You have a house or a room, basically, that is half roofed and half not roofed. Half of it has a roof over it, half of it does not have a roof over it. Yesh lo dar amot, ein lo dar amot. That room or house that has access into the chatzir, does he get dar amot or not? Tzamalei, ein lo dar amot. He does not get dar amot. Lo mi bayi ki ruav mi legav. That, I'm not even saying when the roofed area is inside, defshu da'ayo legavai umefarik. Right, because then he can go inside and take it off. Even if the roofed area is towards the doorway, he can still go in and unload. What's the basic understanding here? People will only put kelim or possessions under an area that has a roof to protect their possessions. So the assumption is that the area that's not roofed is clear of kelim. So that's an area where you can unload yourself. So now he says, I don't even say where the first area you come to is the unroofed area, and the second area, the deeper area away from the door, is the part that is roofed. So therefore, you have clear space when you first get into your house in order to unload before you go into the place where there's kelim. I don't even say it there. Even if it's the opposite, where the roofed area is first and the empty space is in the back, we say to you, just go through the empty space and unload in the empty space. Pass through your house. You're not, the problem is the unloading. It's not the fact that you have to bring the chamor into the house. You bring the chamor to the other side and you'll unload it. By mine Ravuna me Rabbi Ami, or the other possibility, which is that it is Rav Ami over here. Echad mivnei mavoi shebigesh lachzir pitcho lemavoi acher. Another, an individual in a mavoi who wants to change where he accesses the reshut harabim. Right, the mavoi is a staging area that reaches into the chatzerot, and then the chatzerot are the access area to the batim, to the houses. So now he has his access from his chatzer into a mavoi, and now he wants to switch onto the other mavoi. He wants to switch to another mavoi here. B'nei mavoi makvin alav. Oei makvin alav. Can they stop him from gaining access through that mavoi? Amalei b'nei mavoi me'akvin alav. The b'nei mavoi here can stop him from entering into or opening access into this mavoi.
Why?
Because they're going to say that now you are... Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That you're not normally here. We don't usually have you coming through here. You're going to be more traffic. There's going to be more issues. I mean, it's not that you automatically have a right to go to a mavoi. That right to a mavoi is part of when the house is built. So that's an easement that you have on this mavoi. If you want to change it, you've got to get permission from the people who are in the right mavoi who you're going to open up into. All right. Achsanya. Now Rashi calls an achsanya over here, is that the king's troops who come to the city and the people of the city have to house them and feed them. So how do we determine how much you have to, your pro rata share of supplying here? Do we according to the number of people living in the house? Or do we go to the number of doorways, meaning that the number of houses, basically, there? So he says, It goes according to the number of people that are in each house. Tosus does not like Rashi's explanation here of Achsanya, and he brings the Perush of Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel says Achsanya is a case of here Shayera. It's a caravan Shechanta b'makom echad. They resided in a place, as Zebel Echokim. Once they have all the manure that's produced in that area, how do they divide amongst the people where they stay? How do they divide up the zevo that was left behind, the manure that was left behind? They do it according to...
For what purpose?
For keeping it. It's hefker, so they want to keep the manure. What's the proper way to divide it? Do we divide it by the number of people there or by the number of ptachim? All right, that's the way Rabbeinu Chananel says it, and that might be driven by the next brisa. Tanya nami ochi, zevo shibchatzer, mitchalechet lefi ptachim. When it comes to the dung, the manure in the chatzer, it's divided by the number of doorways. Achsanya lefnei be'adam. When it comes to the achsanya, now according to Rashi, achsanya means hamelech, right? The chel hamelech. So over there we're not talking about manure, we're talking about feeding them. Whereas according to Rabbeinu Chananel, it seems to fit the flow of the brisa, which is that we're talking about manure of a shayera. How do they divide it? So over there we divide it against the number of people, not doorways, because the shayera doesn't really have doorways, it has people that are on the caravan, right? One of the B'nai Mavoi who wants to it's not clear what he wants to do. He wants to close up the area in front of his mavoi. They can stop him. Shemar b'leim etzederach, because he causes them to have to walk more. Why is that? So Rashi claims that he wants to put a mechitza in front of the dalet amot that he gets opposite his doorway in the mavoi. Rashi makes an assumption, which we see nowhere else in Shas, that not only are you entitled to form out outside your doorway into the chatzer, you're also entitled to four amot outside of the mavoi. Your chatzer, when it accesses the mavoi, you also get four amot there.
But is that your private mavoi?
Right. But the chatzer is not also your private area.
You mean always is the courtyard again?
Right. So yes. That would be assuming. I mean, it could either be there's a private. If you're only an individual that's in that chatzer. I mean, if you're a singleton in that chatzer, then true. Right, then you can get one chatzer. But you're right. If there are multiple people in the chatzer, each chatzer is only entitled to four amot into the mavoi. Right, each bayit. One amot, right. Four amot into the chatzer. Very good. Exactly the same way. As Rashi explains it, Tosfos, of course, rejects this and says, we never found such a concept that there are four amot from a chatzer into a mavoi, that entitlement. So he rather claims that the issue here is that the mavoi in general is a mavoi she'enu mefulash. A mavoi is dead end, right? There's one access route into the Reshut HaRabim, and the other side is a dead end. So the person who lives on the end of the dead end, can he close out the mavoi? He says, listen, I'm the only one who accesses this area. You guys all enter your chatzerot before you get to the end of the mavoi. What I'm going to do is I'm just going to seal off the mavoi at the end, and I'm just going to make an area at the end where it's all mine, because you guys don't need to go there anyway. So he says, no, you're not allowed to do that on mavoi, because Marbe Alehem et Aderech, because he causes them to have more people there, perish regal adam, right? So that there are going to be more people now accessing the area, because until now everybody could spread out until the end of the mavoi, but you're closing it off, then the area that's left is going to have to contain all the people that are entering in the mavoi. So you're basically shrinking the area of the mavoi that's accessible to everybody. So we cannot permit you to do that.
Right?
No, there is no through traffic. It was always sealed off. The other end, there was never a way out of the mavoi. Yeah, it was always sealed off. He's not dead-ending it now. It was already a dead end, and now he's just sealing off that end to give himself more room where he is at the end of the dead end. Basically, he lives on the dead end, and he wants to just make the dead end his own personal property now. All right. Because we meitve chamesh chatzerot ptuchot lemavoi kulam mishtamshot im achitzona v'chitzona mishtameshet atzma v'shar mishtamshot im ashniya v'ashniya mishtameshet atzma u'mishtameshet im achitzona. Right, so it basically, if you have five chatzerot that enter into a mavoi, each one of them has access along with the outer one, meaning the one closest to the Reshut HaRabim, everybody has access with them. V'chitzona mishtameshet atzma. Right? It only gets its own. Vashar mishtameshet im ashniya, ashniya mishtameshet l'atzma. The second doorway, everybody does, plus, right, its own area. Mishtameshet im achitzona, right, and it can also go with the outer door. Nimtzei pnimit mishtameshet l'atzma. That means that the inner, the most inner one, the one closest to the dead end of the mavoi, works by itself. U'mishtameshet im kol achad v'achat. And then goes each one. So now what do you see? You see that there is private. We do classify the area at the end of the mavoi to be the private area of this last chatzer that enters at that point in time, which disagrees with what we just saw, which says that you can't close it off because of Marbella Medecha. So when I says Tanahi, that happens to be a machloket Tanaim. The Tanya Echad Mibnei Avoi Shebeish Lachzir Pitchol Mavoi Acher. Bnei Mavoi Makvin Alav. That a person who wants to change his access into another mavoi, right, then they can stop him from doing this. Hayas Satum Ubikesh Lepatchol. If he wants, if it was closed off and he wants to open it, Ein Bnei Mavoi Makvin Alav. Right, then they can't stop him. Divrei Rabbi. That's what Rabbi says. Rabbi Shimon Elazar Mer, Chamesh Chatzerot Abtuchot Mavoi. Five Chatzerot that are open to a Mavoi, Kula Mishtamashot B'Mavoi. Zuum Zu. Right, they can, all of them can use the Chatzer over here. So Mar says, Chatzerot, Mandakar Shemayu. All of a sudden, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar is mentioning Chatzerot, which had nothing to do with Rabbi, who mentioned before. He says, if you want to open up a new doorway to a Mavoy Acher, the Mavoy can stop him. Right? And if it was Satum and he wants to open it, meaning that he had a doorway access to the Mavoy, it was bricked up, then he can reopen it anytime he wants. So all we're talking about here is a single person talking about a right Mavoy. Now all of a sudden, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar comes and says, oh, there are five Chatzerot entering into a Mavoy. Where did that come from? talking tani. It was missing words, is what it means. Chein chamesh chetzerot abtuchot demavuei kula mishamshot im achitzona v'achitzona mishameshet atzma v'chulei divrei rabbi. Just like the brace that we just saw, that each individual gets their own access to the mavoi, and it's shared as long as you are, the closer you are to the doorway, the more people share in your access. If you're at the end, dead end, you get your own private access. Reb Shimon ben Elazar mer, chamesh katzerot b'tuchot demavoi kulam mishamot b'mavoi. That's his statement. His statement is no, that when it comes to a mavoi, everyone has equal access, and that'll be like the first price that we saw, which is that you're makvin alav. When he wants to seal off the end of the dead end, you can stop him. That's like Reb Shimon ben Elazar, who says that they all have equal access to the mavoi. Okay, we'll stop here.